Hello, welcome to the self-learning platform by Dr. Sushma Singh. Today we start Unit 8 Citizenship with topic Group Differentiated Citizenship. Till recently, for many, liberal citizenship is by definition a matter of treating people as individuals with equal rights under the law. This they felt distinguished democratic citizenship from the feudal and other pre-modern views that determine people's political status by their religious, ethnic, or class membership. However, it is increasingly admitted today that mere avowal of equal rights may not ensure equal access and opportunities to certain groups who are culturally different. In fact, equal rights without certain safeguards to cultural minorities may tend to reinforce majoritarian domination over minorities. Group differentiated citizenship qualifies citizenship by cultural belonging. It sees citizenship as constituted by both equal rights and differences. A society avowing group differentiated citizenship appreciates the cultural differences in which equal and free citizens are anchored. While understanding of culture are widely varied, Will Kamilica has suggested that pertinent notion of culture in terms of group differentiated rights in societal culture, that is, a culture which provides its members with meaningful ways of life across the full range of human activities, including social, educational, religious, recreational, and economic life, encompassing both public and private spheres. It is not merely shared memories or values, but also common institutions and values. Societal culture, according to him, is expressed in everyday vocabulary of social life and embodied in practices covering most areas of human activity, such as in schools, media, economy, government, etc. He argues that the culture has the capacity to survive in modern times only by becoming a societal culture. Citizenship is deeply bound with such societal culture, and citizens through their activity shape and reshape this culture. Societal cultures play a major role in enabling and promoting context of freedoms. Kamilica has suggested that freedom involves making choices among various options, and our societal cultures not only provides these options but also makes them meaningful to us. It is with this reference to culture that the value of practices comes to be understood. It is in the background of the cultural narratives and certain authoritative lines of appropriate conduct is marked for us. Conduct which, of course, can be subsequently revisited by exercise of our freedoms. This requires, according to the famous philosopher of law, Ronald Dworkin, protection of our culture from structural debasement or decay. The availability of meaningful options to people largely depends upon access to societal culture. Cultures are modes of life which are much more enduring. While there are instances of people making a successful transformation from one culture to another, this is not a reasonable option for a vast number of people. Of course, cultures are not sterile waters. They do undergo significant changes over time. But across these changes, they remain the same culture. With liberalization and globalization, there has been a great interface between cultures. But it cannot be said that the coming together of cultures have made people less aware of their own. If anything, it has been just the contrary. Maglitz and Reyes has advanced two major reasons for the endurance of culture. The first, cultural membership provides meaningful options. According to him, familiarity with a culture determines the boundaries of the imaginable, and if a culture decays, the options and opportunities open to its members will shrink, become less attractive, and their pursuit less likely to be successful. The second reason is that self-identity and recognition by others at a fundamental level depend on criteria of belonging and not as much on personal accomplishment. Social identification and belonging that arises from it is important to people. Dignity and self-respect are deeply bound up with it. Cultural membership too makes one's accomplishments not as isolated instances, but bounded with and reproducing an entire tradition. When institutions are leavened by culture, the participation of people in them becomes spontaneous and lively too. It begets relationships of solidarity and trust. However, people employing their freedoms do devise their attachment and belonging, and for a vast majority of people, the matrix of such a zone of belonging and exercise of their freedoms remains the nation state informed by societal culture. A societal culture is not uniform. It is constituted by diverse streams and autonomous culture. Often people access societal cultures through such streams and autonomous culture. The distinct identity embedded in these streams are shaped by such a culture, as they in turn shape it as a whole. Two ways of relationship are suggested between citizenship and its cultural embeddedment. The citizenship is an attribute independent of cultural identity. Citizenship as a group differentiated identity. Now let us move to the next point, that is citizenship as an attribute independent of cultural identity. Cultural identity is constituted as communities uphold moral ideals that are supposed to hold good to all its members. Often they propose a comprehensive way of life, which is supposed to be the embodiment of what good life should be for one and all. It revolves around certain definitive conceptions of what is important and what is not important in life with regard to such fundamental issues such as sex, friendship, work, suffering, sin, death, and salvation. It provides definitive order and meaning to such issues. It ranks human qualities and orders aspirations in terms of hierarchy of ends. Communities assign stable and well-known duties and responsibilities. There are unambiguous standards to evaluate conduct. Communities orient human desire to definitive channels. Communication in such communities acquires clarity and effectiveness due to sharing in common a range of background assumptions. Communities do not ascertain questions on meanings, purpose, value, and responsibility on a whole range of activities they are constituted of. In spite of such community anchoring, this conception of citizenship is defined independent of community. Citizenship is limited to membership and participation in political community, and it does not aspire to uphold any comprehensive conception of good life or subscribe to any particular comprehensive conception of the good upheld by any specific community. It may encompass a multiplicity of diverse cultural communities holding ideals of good life distinctive to themselves. In such a situation, citizenship purposes the ideal of working with others to design public life without taking into account the separate ideals and values cherished by the respective communities, but at the same time acknowledging the need to work with their members. In such a conception, while a citizen is committed to his communitarian identity and moral ideal, she at the same time respects and acts in consent with fellow citizens whose communitarian identities and ideals greatly differ from her. To move from the standpoint of a member of community to a conception of a citizenship of this kind, a person needs to acquire the capacity for freedom, the capacity to define him or her independently of the specific community of anchor. However, citizenship itself may not provide cultural resources rich enough for a comprehensive life ideal. To affirm equality, a citizen is required to employ a double framework, one appropriate to the community and as a citizen extending equal consideration to all citizens. For the latter purpose, there need to be a space independent of social hierarchies, where citizens treat each other as equals. It involves forging civil friendship to ensure reproduction of this space and institutions' characteristics of it. It is not enough that the citizens merely cultivate an attitude of live and let live, a posture of benign mutual indifference. Such a double framework can be difficult for many who have strong commitment to their community ideals. Beliefs and practices alien to us can be deeply threatening. Such a threat to deeply held beliefs and hallowed practices is interface with such an understanding of citizenship may arise to parochial, sectarian, exclusivist, authoritarian, and fundamentalist tendencies. Now let us move to the next point, that is citizenship as a group differentiated identity. This perspective on citizenship lays greater stress on group-differentiated identities whose internal resources are called upon to constitute an overlapping consensus expressed in a political community. The different culture communities included within such a political community identify and cultivate within their own traditions resources supportive of citizenship, that is, the civic freedom and equality. Such a normative standpoint is addressed to citizens who have been shaped in their understanding and desires by the standards of a particularistic cultural communities to which they belong. The later process virtually begins at birth. Grooming into citizenship is experienced relatively late. The language associated with civic moral ideas is not designed to replace community moral ideas. Citizenship pursuits do not involve a process of conversion from a comprehensive ideal and way of life to another, but a reordering of community identity itself. Given the fact of the existence of plurality of such community identities. In this conception, citizenship means a very different thing to different communities. The rights that different communities enjoy and the obligation they are expected to shoulder differ, although the principles on which they are grounded are the same. These principles are the significance of community for the constitution of the self and the need to ensure political stability under conditions of freedom and equality. Three types of rights are suggested under a differentiated understanding of citizenship, although it is possible to suggest a much more complex typology in this regard, considering the kind of deep diversity that prevails in countries like India, Russia, Indonesia, and China. The first one is citizenship based on polyethnic rights. A large number of states are polyethnic in their composition today, although non-Western societies have a much longer experience of such a composition. Western societies have experienced major shift in their ethnic composition following their colonial expansion and in the post-colonial period. Such ethnic groups have challenged the demand that they should abandon significant aspect of their ethnic heritage and assimilate themselves to the mainstream culture. Initially, they demanded the right to freely express themselves without discrimination in the large society of which they were a part. It resulted in changes in educational curriculum and open to them the arena of music and arts distinctive to them. Such a demand, however, did not make significant difference to such visible ethnic minorities, such as the blacks in US, expect a small stratum within them. In recent years, these ethnic groups have demanded finding of ethnic associations, magazines, and festivals as integral part of the funding of arts and museums. They have sought exemptions from Sunday closing or animal slaughter legislation, motorcycle helmet laws, and official dress codes, ban on wearing head scarf, and so on. These are stronger ethnic claims. The second one is special representation rights. Special representation rights are demanded by certain groups because the prevailing political process may subject them to some systematic disadvantage, whereby they are not able to effectively represent their views and interests. In India, Dalits have demanded special representation rights on this ground, while the Adivasis have demanded them along with ethnic rights. The third one is the self-government rights. Self-government rights are a case of extreme demand for the group differentiated rights. They tend to divide people into separate political species with their distinct history, territory, and powers attributing to themselves the status of a separate political community. They may arrogate to themselves the loyalty of the members and make wider citizenship claims secondary. Liberal, however, strongly expressed their apprehension about the group-differentiated citizenship. In the American context, Nathan Glazier has argued that if groups are encouraged by taking into account their difference as constitutive of citizenship, then the hope of a large fraternity of all American will have to be abandoned. It has been argued that the cultural or group rights are dangerous as they violate the primacy of individual rights. Some people have argued that the group differentiated citizenship ceases to be a device to cultivate a sense of community and a common sense of purpose. Such a notion of citizenship is inherently particularistic and may become discriminatory. It is felt that if citizenship is differentiated, if no longer provides a shared experience or common status, people differentiated citizenship requires representation of the group and group leader rather than citizens themselves being invested with such rights. The privileging of ethnic groups under group differentiated citizenship may lead to seeking self-determination and liberation through succession. Thereby, such a notion of citizenship is a clear threat to the state and the large society advocating universal citizenship. It may foment civil war and irreconcilable conflict. In fact, liberals have argued that the participatory structures allowing for greater democratic control over local and regional resources distribution is a better way of handling empowerment of excluded groups than through differentiated citizenship. Some people fear that the group-based claims are likely to erode public separatedness further. They are likely to impede the integration of minorities and immigrants, keeping them in their different origins rather than their shared symbols, society, and future. Most of these criticisms apply to extreme cases and on a doctrine understanding of citizenship rights and obligations. The primary issue that the group differentiated claims raise is whether a group is included within a political community as an equal or not. If they are excluded or partially excluded, members of such groups cannot lay much claim to equal rights. Often, exclusion and discrimination participate self-government claims among people inhabiting a common territory and shared cultures. Self-government and self-determination demands are largely confined today to cultural groups claiming our distinct nationhood. Sometimes, however, the border line between the excluded groups occupying our distinctive territory, making demand for self-government and national self-determination, remains very thin. Now let us sum up the unit. Citizenship is a highly valorized theme in recent political writings and concerns. A number of political developments in our time have contributed to this heightened interest in citizenship. While the notion of citizenship may go along with a great deal of economic and social inequalities, the level playing field it suggests on the basis of equal rights may make such inequalities an issue of target of concern citizens. Many social movements of modern time have striven not merely for the inclusion of excluded social groups into the body of citizens, but also for extending and expanding the zone of equal rights. In spite of such strivings, the notion of citizenship remains deeply ambivalent. Liberal tends to stress on the equality and freedom of citizens. Marxists, however, are not very enthusiastic regarding citizenship, as they feel that it is a device employed by the capitalist state to restate social relations of classes as relations of citizens. They, however, feel that the citizenship as a political device can be of immense use in activating social agents to subject public institutions to a critic and search for alternatives. In spite of ambiguities in which this concept is caught, there is a widespread agreement that the zone of citizenship be enlarged. This concern for the expansion of the zone of rights has brought within its fold cultural communities and political minorities who have sought a range of rights specific to their predicament. They have argued that along with equal rights, their specific differences be taken into account in ordering political communities and their institutions. Citizens' concerns are closely related to some of the most important issues under public debate today, such as civil society, participatory democracy, and civic responsibility. The altered role of the state under conditions of globalization and liberalization invokes citizenship for the health of the polity. Further, the horizon of citizenship is no longer limited to membership of the nation states any longer. Cultural and doctrinal attachments are increasingly brought into mark a level playing field to citizens otherwise deeply divided in terms of their cultural attachment. Here we wind up the today's lecture and we have come to the end of the unit. Thank you so much for your attention.